Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back. And we thank you that you've given us understanding of how this is all going to go down. And we even declare and come into agreement right now that you are God and you are good and you are perfect. And what's about to happen here on this earth and what's about to change us and everything for eternity is so good and will be perfect. And so, God, we turn our attention to your word. May we have our minds just excited and our hearts excited and our spirits coming alive in your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. So are you enjoying this journey through the book of Revelation? Come on, are you starting to get that forward thinking? You know, thinking about what's coming, right? Okay. Remember last week we did a go back, if you will, a throwback to Easter. And we did, He is risen?
He is risen.
All right, the Eastern Orthodox Church says that every single week. But then the Lord highlighted to me, He said, hey, this is what y'all need to be doing in Evident Life Church right now. And Tim did it because he got it last week, picked up on it, grabbed it. And that is this, He's coming back?
He's coming back.
All right, let's declare it like we know it. He's coming back! Indeed he is. Billy Graham, he made this statement. He said, Bible teaching about the second coming of Christ was thought of as doomsday preaching, but not anymore. It is the only ray of hope that shines as an ever-brightening beam in a darkening world. And that's what I think of, man, when I think of Revelation. When I read through the book of Revelation, I can't put it down. When I teach it, when I meditate on the reality of Christ's love and Him coming back and the distance that He's going to go to be united with His church forever. I mean, I get so excited about it. In fact, I get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I'm not going to show them to you, Roger, but I am. Trust me, I'm getting goosebumps. And it's not because of fear, it's because of excitement. Jesus is coming back for us, and it's going to be marvelous. It's not doomsday for the church, man. It is everything we've been looking forward to, and then some. Beautiful. It is the ray of hope in our world today. Jesus is returning. So I want you to turn this morning to the book of Ephesians. I know we're in the book of Revelation, but we're going to get there. Don't worry. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. The Apostle Paul made this statement. He said that God made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. We sang about that cornerstone this morning. Christ alone. He purposed it in Christ to be put into effect, check this out, when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Christ. God has an amazing plan. We know that. We've read the book. We've got the game plan right here. And He is rolling that plan out at the perfect time. It will happen. When the times have reached their fulfillment, He's always on time. He's never late. And somebody needs to know that here this morning. As you're waiting for God to move in your life, you need to know that there is a time of fulfillment for that dream, for that need that you have, for that healing, whatever it might be. There is a time, and He's never late. He's always right on time, and we can trust Him. He's good. And the day of fulfillment is coming, and Jesus is coming back. And this is the marvelous thing. As the Apostle Paul said, He is going to bring both the supernatural realm, that's heaven, and the physical realm, that's the earth. He's bringing the supernatural and the physical, heaven and earth, together, and He's going to make an eternal dwelling place here on a new earth with a new heaven coming to a new earth where He will live with us. Who is us? Those who overcome. We read about that earlier with the seven churches, those letters. The people of God, The family of God, those who are redeemed in and through Christ alone. He's coming back. He's bringing heaven to earth. And I want you to understand this. I want you to grab hold of a truth right now. This is for you. God is moving heaven to earth in order to spend eternity with you. That's what he's doing. He's moving heaven to earth to spend forever with us. That's marvelous. Last week we were introduced to the Extreme Makeover, the New Earth Edition. Remember that? Again, PowerPoint's an awesome thing. You can just, you know, change things up there. There is going to be a divine move that bus moment. It's coming. A divine move that bus moment where we're going to discover that the messed up, the broken, the old order of things is going to be demolished. It's not just going to be forgotten. I mean, it's going to be destroyed and it's going to be completely removed. And in God's perfect mercy, in his perfect justice, because he's perfect, we got to know, as we read the book of Revelation, if we read the book of Revelation with doubt about the character of God, if we read through the book of Revelation not understanding that God is awesome and he's perfect in mercy, his justice is perfect, he never gets it wrong, he always does it just right, more than we could ever hope for or imagine. If we don't have that understanding as we read the book of Revelation, then we freak out. And fear overcomes us instead of excitement. And so people don't want to read the book of Revelation because they get all freaked out. But not us. We're forward thinkers, man. And we're looking at this knowing who God is. You see, in God's perfect mercy and justice, he brings the judgments. He brings the extreme makeover. He brings the great tribulation perfectly, most amazingly and mercifully, he brings that in order to take away, totally destroy and remove all the old order of things and to make all things new and perfect under his righteous and perfect leadership. We're going to continue to study the scriptures of Revelation now. And as we do, as we continue to read through Revelation, we see that more happens. Before God comes back and plants his physical feet on a new earth, on this earth, more is going to happen. So I want you to engage with this, and I want you to look to somebody around you, and I want you to say, if you're ready, if you mean it, just let them know that I'm ready for more. Just tell them, I'm ready for more. If you mean it, I'm ready for more. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? All right. Okay, to set the stage, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give a quick 2-minute chronological overview of Revelation 19, 20, and 21. So you can just go to Revelation 19 right now. We're going to cover several topics here. What we're going to do is it's going to be a quick overview. Then we're going to start diving into each one of these 7 amazing realities that we see played out in Revelation 19, 20, and 21. And it's going to take us a few weeks to do this, okay? So we're not going to get through all of this week. We got a few more weeks to go here. And here's where we're starting. Here's this chronological overview of Jesus coming back. It begins with the return of Jesus to this earth. Revelation 19. Heaven opens, Jesus comes down, he comes back to the earth. He's coming back. Woo! You got it. You're on it. He's coming back indeed. And then when Satan, when Jesus comes back, he does something. And he locks Satan up for 1,000 years. Revelation 20. That's what we see at the start of Revelation 20. At that time, the saints are then resurrected. At Christ's return, we receive our glorified bodies. Once again, in Revelation 20, we read about that. The older I get, I'm 50 now, the older I get, the more excited I am about that resurrected body. And all you old people in here that are older than me, you know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. You got amen. I got an amen right here. Thank you, Jimmy. So we're resurrected. The saints are resurrected. Then Jesus and his church, we continue in Revelation 20, Jesus and his church then reign for 1,000 years on the earth. Now that's exciting. We're going to talk about that. As Jesus and the church are making final preparations for God to make this new earth his permanent dwelling place. Then something kind of strange happens, and we're going to dive into this a little bit. After 1,000 years, this is where you've got to know that God is perfect, and we can trust him, and he knows when we don't know. Because after 1,000 years, Satan is released, and he deceives many, but then he's thrown into the lake of fire. After which we dive into Revelation 20 and we see the new Jerusalem descending to the earth. The new heavens coming down and meeting the new earth. And we enter at that time the eternal age. And that's where we see in Revelation 21 that God makes his permanent dwelling with man. Hallelujah. Let it all happen, Lord. Roll it out. You ready to unpack these? All right. I got a warning for you. Truth, when you encounter truth, you got to deal with it. You got to wrestle with it. It's going to change the way you think, and truth is going to change the way you live. So we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to talk about the Word of God, and we're going to say, Lord, continue to grow me up in you. I'm yours. Have your way with me with your Word. So let's dive in. Jesus returns to the earth. Revelation chapter 19. Jesus returns to the earth. The title of today's message is The Return of the King. We finally got the title. This is going to be a 2-hour message, so just hold on. Pete, I'm kidding. You don't have to leave, man. It's not going to be that long. I'm sure. The Return of the King. Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is the key to everything? And Jesus is who all of creation has been groaning for. How many of you ever groan? I'm raising both hands, man. I'm a groaner, man. You can ask my wife. I'll just sit there sometimes. She'll be like, are you okay, honey? I'm okay. I'm just groaning, you know. I mean, we just have those days where we just groan. I don't know about you, but I even have thoughts and speak under my breath. I'm just ready for this to all be done. I'm just ready for the next thing. You know what I'm saying? And we're groaning. What are we groaning for? We're groaning for Jesus. He is who we're groaning for. We're groaning for him to come back and to make all things new. That's what we're groaning for. So Revelation 19, verse 11. Who we're groaning for is coming back. Apostle John says, he says, I saw heaven standing open. And when I read that, every time I read it, I'm like, look out. The doors are opening up. There's coming a day, think about those barn doors over there. We can open those doors where they're just being opened up. Heaven's opening up. Here he comes. Here he comes. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because Jesus is going to be walking through those doors. And there before me, John says, the doors of heaven open. There before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. It's describing the return of Jesus. He's coming back. All right, one more time. I caught you off guard. He's coming back.
He's coming back.
Yes, he is. Okay. Now, how many of you remember Michael Jordan? How many of you remember that he retired two times? The first time that Jordan retired was in 1993. It was after the Bulls just got done beating the Phoenix Suns in the NBA championship. Velvet and I were at that game, and we saw Jordan with the ball. Everybody's attention was on Jordan. He shovels it off to Paxton, who takes a shot. He makes it. The hopes and dreams of Phoenix are dashed. It's over. And what does Jordan do after that third championship ring that he just won? He retired. He retired. But he didn't stay retired forever, did he? He played some baseball. He stayed busy. He had things he was doing in his retirement. But then what happened? Jordan came back. Jordan came back to the greatest game, by the way, is basketball. Just to let y'all know that. He came back to the greatest game of basketball because Jordan was made for basketball. Come on, you basketball people. How many of you know that? Jordan was made for basketball. I still say he was the greatest of all time. He came back to basketball and he won three more championships, three more rings. He had to use two hands to fit all those rings on there. Come on, that's awesome. Now, I'm going to make an analogy, and forgive me because analogies are never perfect, so don't be, you know, trying to parse it out and, like, theologically, you know, tear it apart. Just hang with me here, okay? So after his victory on the cross, Jesus left the earth. In his resurrected body, he left the earth after that victory, but he didn't retire. Instead, he is in heaven right now making intercession, playing baseball, making intercession for us. Even right now, Mario's shaking his head going, man, Eric, I can't believe you're doing this. It works, Mario. Hang with me. It really does work. He didn't retire. He's in heaven right now in his resurrected body making intercession for the church. But he's not staying in heaven forever. He's not staying in that role forever. He's returning because we were made to live with him forever. Jordan was made for basketball. He returned. Jesus was, we were made to live with Jesus forever, and he's coming back, and he's making all things new, and we will dwell with him forever. Forever. So we're reading about the physical Jesus. Let's make sure we understand that. This is the physical Jesus. This is the Jewish man that we're talking about that's coming back. The man from Nazareth, the Jewish man, fully God and fully man, returning to the earth that he created, returning in his resurrected physical body, coming back to this earth, establishing his rule on this earth, preparing the earth for the eternal dwelling of God. That's who we're talking about. That's Jesus. That's who's coming back. You excited about that? You're going to see him. In fact, everyone's going to see him when he returns. It's going to be dramatic. But did you notice that Jesus is coming back as a warrior king? Again, verse 15 says, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Jesus is coming back with some serious aggression. Can we all be okay with that? Again, we just came into agreement that he's perfect. Perfect in mercy, perfect in justice. He's perfect, and he is perfectly coming back with some serious aggression. He's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to remove all evil leaders who follow the Antichrist, replacing them with his righteous rule. He's coming back. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be awesome, and I can't wait for that. Now, this isn't what's typically taught in our Sunday school classes. Maybe in ours, it's taught this way, but it's not typically what we see or grew up with in Sunday school, right? I love this song. It's not a really popular song. Some people here might know it, but I love the words of this song where it goes, speaking of Jesus now, he says, he's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. We're talking about Jesus. Coming back with some serious power, some serious aggression, doing the serious work of making all things new. Come on, that's exciting stuff. God is aggressively moving heaven to earth, and he will live with us forever. All right, I'm going to give you a heads up. We're going to do this again. He's coming back. Amen. Amen. So, this Jesus, this conquering king, this Jewish man in his physical resurrected body, fully God, fully man, returning to earth that he created, and then the heads start to roll. How many can you just look to somebody and say, the heads are going to roll. Heads are going to roll. They're going to roll. And the first head that rolls is Satan. He's the first head that's going to roll when Jesus comes back. Here's what happens next. Let's continue in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1 says, John says, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss. He locked and sealed it over to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So what do we see here? We're just walking through Scripture. This is how it's going to go down. It's pretty clear here what's going to be happening. Jesus came back, the returning of the king, the conquering king, the aggressive king, the king that's so full of love, he's willing to go the distance to make all things new for his church. He's coming back. Heads start to roll. Satan is the first one. He gets locked up, thrown into the abyss for 1,000 years. Satan's going to be locked up. He's going to be powerless for 1,000 years. Why? Because Jesus is coming back to rule, and he's not going to share his leadership with Satan. He's not going to walk on this earth with Satan walking on this earth, having any kind of influence. And so this is where my mind goes. This is where you get the crazy kind of eclectic Pastor Eric. So I start singing as I'm writing this, and I'm praying in this, thinking about this. I say, it's a whole new world, a fantastic point of view. But then, of course, I get the kind of Weird Al thing going, and I start thinking of different lyrics to it, right? So I go, it's a whole new world. Satan, get squashed for messing with you. That's what I was singing this week when I got the, you know, I'm like, hey, this is what's going on, right? So Satan gets locked up, thrown away for 1,000 years. And here's what this is. As I look at this, I think this is an amazing display of God's mercy over mankind. Where he comes back and he locks Satan up. And he gives people an opportunity to respond to him now. 1,000 years to respond to him without Satan messing around. This is the mercy of God. Giving an opportunity for people to repent without Satan's influence. Without his distractions. Without his involvement. That's some serious goodness and mercy that God shows mankind. That's marvelous. Why does God let this happen? Why is God so merciful that he would go to a cross for us? Why is God so merciful that he would come back and clean up the mess that we made? Why is God so merciful that he would throw Satan into the abyss and lock him up for 1,000 years and say, hey, I'm ruling in perfect righteousness. Now come to me. I love you. That's the mercy of God. He loves people. He loves people. All of this for people. That's why we got to love people, church. That's how far God goes for people. He goes this far for broken people, people that have been cursing his name. He goes this far for them to draw them to him, to offer them new life and mercy and love. And man, it's been offered to us. We've received it, and so by God's grace, we give it out to others. But look, this passage also reveals to us something pretty spectacular. This is the millennial kingdom reign of Jesus. The millennial kingdom reign of Jesus. Scripture reveals that this is the 1,000-year period immediately following Jesus' return to the earth. Again, we're just reading this through verse by verse. This is how it's going down. Jesus comes back. Satan, his head rolls. He gets thrown into the abyss. And we start this for 1,000 years, and we start this 1,000-year millennial kingdom reign of Jesus on the earth. And we discover that the millennial kingdom reign involves us. Third point that we grab from Scripture this morning is that the saints are resurrected and they rule with Jesus. You know, I know there have been books written about all this kind of stuff. There's been movies made about Revelation and the end times and Jesus coming back. But I want us to make sure we understand this isn't a movie. This is real life. And we're not spectators. We are involved in God's end times plans to make all things new and to bring righteousness. We're involved. Verse 4. Revelation 20, I saw thrones on which were seated those who'd been given authority to judge. Many say that that's referring to the believers. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus, because of the word of God. They'd not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they came to life. Come on. They received their resurrected, imperishable, perfect bodies, those that are the same as Christ's new physical resurrected bodies. They're resurrected. Those that were beheaded, those that lost their lives for Christ, those that didn't take the mark of the beast, those that went to their grave saying yes to Jesus, He is Lord, He is King, they were resurrected at that time. And check this out, they didn't just sit around and watch what went on. It says, and they, these saints, they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead, many say it's those not in Christ. Some would say some of the dead came back, the others are still waiting. Okay, God is God. But the reality is this, believers are being resurrected after Satan is thrown into the abyss. The people of God are resurrected, and they don't just watch what Jesus does, but they reign with Christ 1,000 years. Those that did not come to life, or the rest of the dead, did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, John says, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. But they, the resurrected believers he's talking about, will be priests of God. That's an active, amazing role. They'll be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Again, notice the resurrected church has an amazing role when Christ returns to the earth. The resurrected saints reign with Christ. We participate in rolling out the kingdom of God because we're priests of God and of Christ. During this 1,000-year millennial kingdom reign, the kingdom of God will be openly manifested. I put large and in charge, man. The kingdom of God is going to be large and in charge at this time because Jesus and His church will be ruling. It's going to affect every area of life, political, social, agricultural, economic, education. It's going to affect everything. In fact, if you think you know one area in the world today that doesn't need the kingdom reign of Christ, I'm going to do something I usually don't do. I'm going to welcome you to shout it out. Is there one area in the world that does not need the kingdom reign of Christ? All right, I'm going to say thank you for not saying anything, because everything, every area, every person, every area, every fabric of creation that's ever been needs the reign of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get it. And we're going to participate with Him in it. Pretty awesome. When Jesus returns, He's going to usher in the millennial reign. We're going to see the kingdom of God coming at exponential rate in an exponential measure. Because the world is going to be under new management. We ready for that? Yeah. Under new management. As we continue our forward thinking over the next few weeks, it's important that we understand that we have a role. Because that's going to affect how we live today. It's going to affect how we process Jesus coming back. We have a role in all of this. We're participants, not spectators. We even have a role, as we've talked about, in His returning. We have a role in the prayers of the saints that are the incense that are filling those bowls. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. We have a role in His story. We have a role to play. Never forget that. When you wake up in the morning, it's not an insignificant day for you. It's the day the Lord has made, and he's given you breath to participate with him in bringing his kingdom today and bringing his return and bringing and reigning and ruling and being a priest of God and of Christ. I mean, it's not an insignificant day. It's not just another day to just kind of walk through and to get through. This is the day the Lord has made, and we have a role to play in the kingdom plans of Christ Jesus. All right, no more downcast, dragging our feet around, man. Get some pep in our step, man. We're on the right team. We're on the winning team. Next week, we're going to go into a whole talk. Actually, next week, Pastor Emmanuel is going to be here from Africa. Come on, how about that? He'll actually be here next week. It's going to be a fabulous week. Invite your friends. Invite those who need some personal ministry, whatever it is. Just come on, bring them on. The following week, we're going to spend a whole time talking about the resurrection of the saints. What's that going to look like? I mean, come on, how's that going to feel? When's it going to happen? What does this mean that we are resurrected and we reign and rule with him? We're going to go into a whole discussion about that as we let the Word of God unveil that to us. We're going to move into communion, but before we do, we got to do this one more time. We're going to do it again like we mean it, right? He's coming back!
He's coming back indeed.
Come on. It's Holy Bride.